Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I are joined by Chuck Zito, one of our favorite guests. We recap 223, and we talk about a lot of other things.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again! He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and myself, we're going to recap UFC 223 with one of our favorite guests. I've been complaining and asking when we were going to have Chuck back in, and here he is, Chuck Zito. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Chuck Zito, I'm so happy you're here. And I was about to do the applause thing, but look at this,
there's a code. You can't
I wanted to do the applause. Wait, Chuck can't get an applause? The great Chuck Zito? Oh, look at this.
I know, Chris is right. He doesn't want to show Matt his code because probably the same code he uses on his phone.
It's the same as his fucking luggage. He turned that thing around.
He did.
And he like covered it like when you're like at an ATM.
Yeah.
What am I, some kind of creep?
I don't know why I did
yes.
that.
Why did you do that?
To answer your question.
I feel so uncomfortable right now.
And Chuck apparently was at the fight. I didn't see you at the fight. I thought of you at the fight.
I saw you there, but I couldn't get over it. It was just too crowded, man. It was crazy.
But Chuck, I seen you.
I saw you.
And then, how could you miss Chuck, too? Because it was between rounds or something, or maybe right after the fight, right?
No, between rounds.
Yeah, and I see him stand up. Hey, Matt. I go, oh, Chuck. In the middle of the fight. I'm like, hey, Chuck.
Oh, you were on that side.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, yes.
So then we texted afterwards, right? He said, great job and whatnot. So I go, you know what? Dude, what are you I go, you got to come in soon. No, wait a second. Come recap the whole fucking show with us.
Absolutely.
And he was like, for sure.
Absolutely.
Chuck likes hanging out with us.
Baba, I have a good time with you guys.
Did you have a good time the other night or what?
It was a great time. Great time. And let me tell you something. Al?
Right?
He did an awesome job, man.
He cemented
his name in stone right now.
How crazy of
because
a fuck
everybody's talking about how he's going to get knocked out in 1 minute and 10 seconds and all that stuff. And he went 5 rounds with supposedly a guy who's 25-0.
Yeah.
And he went 5 rounds with a guy when literally Khabib was ready to fight a 25-minute fight. Al had trained for a 3-round fight, and he had trained for Paul Felder. He was training for a slugger. He was not doing any type of work on the ground. He's trained for a guy who's going to stand up with him. And Khabib was trained for a guy who was probably going to stand anyway. So he was in much better condition walking into that fight. So you called me that morning and told me.
Yeah,
I wanted to tweet it so bad, but I couldn't. Ooh, did I want to seem like I knew what I was talking about.
It was such a crazy turn of events, man.
How did you find out?
Well, since it's right over in Brooklyn, I went over there. Our thing is after he weighs in that we usually get a breakfast together or whatever. And the weigh-ins are in the morning now. They're like 9 a.m. So then they do the one for the TV later on. So, I'm only whatever, how many miles away. So I went over at like 6. I got up at 6. I drove over to Brooklyn at 7. And, by the time I got there, checked in, I met up with those guys. Al made weight, no problem. And then all of a sudden we start hearing, they're like, then all of a sudden all the Max couldn't, then I start hearing all the shit that everybody's hearing, that Max couldn't compete because the commission wouldn't let him cut any more weight.
Was it Friday morning they pulled him?
I found out Friday morning.
Wow.
I don't know what everybody else find out.
Yeah, they made him stop cutting weight, apparently.
They made him stop cutting weight, you know? So, and to his credit, Max Holloway is a stud, though. Yeah. He is a fucking stud. He went down and he took that fight. And, so when that fell through, they were talking about Pettis.
Pettis, yeah.
Former champ. And for whatever reason, that fight did not happen.
So rumors circulating that Pettis may have asked for, he may have priced himself out of the market, as they say. That's what I've heard.
I heard it was kind of was too heavy.
Well, I think they wanted him to lose like 0.2 pounds.
0.2. I heard he came in at 155.2, and then the commission, he was going to lose the weight, and they gave him 2 hours, and then all of a sudden they took their scales and left, which may have meant that there was no deal in place. That's my guess.
Well, there's the deal. Maybe we could eventually talk to either Anthony or, I'm buddies with Duke Rufus too, so we could talk to one of them and find out what happened. But he was definitely offered it, and for whatever reason, they didn't take it, for whatever reason, whether it's a money thing or whatever thing. Well, who knows? Only they know. So then I remember Al was, he was right there with his manager and they're talking, and he, or he's like, yo, you know, they were talking back and forth about him. You know, Al was adamant about getting this fight, man. He wanted that fight.
Yeah,
from
the
second it was out, he's like stating his case, you know, and he wanted that fucking fight. He didn't think twice about it. He wanted it. So then I don't know if they were still in talks with Anthony before I went to go take my nap. Because then, you know, he went to go relax a little bit because he fueled up and he's probably tired. So then I went back and I was going to meet them to go down for the other weigh-in, you know. So then I woke up and then I fucking, Longo's like, yo, the fight's on. And he didn't know the details, whether it was three rounds, five rounds
right.
for the title. We didn't know anything.
Right.
We just knew he was fighting Khabib. So it's like, holy fuck, man.
That's awesome,
it's amazing.
Awesome.
But, you know, but initially, right when I knew it was going down, I didn't have any, there was no fear. It was like, this is the right guy for this to happen to.
Yeah.
Out of the whole stable, I got, you know, listen, I back up all my guys. But as you can look back in every interview I ever done, myself, Ray Longo, what attitude, Ally Quinta, there's no one with a tougher attitude. Or better, like he's such a fighter through and through. There's no quitting him. That this is a fight where this is an opportunity. That if anybody's going to seize it, it's going to be this fucking kid. You know what I mean, Jimmy?
Right,
yeah. We all just got excited. Nobody was like, oh, fuck, it's Khabib.
I have a question, the last minute. There was an adjustment I noticed that he made. He seemed like he was squatting very low, which obviously was the key, and punching low, and that's probably to keep Khabib
that,
from shooting.
That was the real Rocky Balboa.
That's great, wasn't it?
Comeback like that
tell
was,
you.
Was the first, when he was crouching down like that, bobbing and weaving. It reminded me of, so, of Rocky,
hey, listen,
man.
The Raging Bull, Raging Ally Quinta. He going down. It was fucking, I mean, being, I work 1,000 corners, man. But I worked how many corners? There's certain fights that are gonna stay with you and stick with you. Fights that come to mind is Chris Weidman versus Machida. There's certain times that they stick with you and they're like, it's like such a moment. It almost feels like you fought. This is one of those times.
Let me ask you too, Matt. Did it seem like it was in the beginning, like, all right, Khabib takes him down and he starts to smother and he's got him and he's mounting from the back and he's drilling his left fist and you're like, ah, fuck. But then he survives that round and he gets up. Which I know he did against Kevin Lee. He was able to get up every time. He's hard to keep down. Does he come back to the corner and go, all right, the worst nightmare is Khabib on top of you, and I survived it, and I got up?
You know, Al's not a huge talker as far as even, you know, I'll tell you, he was doing some talking with Khabib in that third, fourth round.
Yeah, he was.
It was
yeah,
so
he was.
Great. We'll get to that, too. But, you know, no, when he gets back, I was in there between the first and second round. Then I had to go on the outside because he got a cut. So when you get a cut, one trainer goes in and the other guys are around to the outside. So Ray goes in and I would go to the outside. You know what I mean? So, and me and Aljo, and we had our buddy Pat DeFranco there, one of our fighters also. So we, you know, we had our crew with us. So the first round, between rounds, it was like, you know, he was good. He didn't take that much damage. I put some ice in his eye because his eye was a little, he took a little black eye, whatever, didn't want it to swell up. But it's like, yo, man, you didn't. That was good, yeah, man. We know what we're dealing with, so it's like you have to give this guy so much of a pep talk. But like, put it this way: after the second round, by after the third round, I'm saying when he got a grip of that leg, I mean, he's so fucking strong, this guy. I mean, oh my god, Khabib, when he shot in for that low single and he got a grip of the leg, Al's good at getting out of like stuff. How he turns the knee down, he's doing the right stuff. This dude had a grip on him like a pit bull, man. He's part bear, part gorilla, this Khabib. He's strong. Like,
yeah.
I've seen it. Like, I'm as close as you can get. The only bit closer is the referee, and I'm like, that's a fuck. That's hard to get this dude.
Sure.
And he's get this guy off your leg, man. But that third round, now he's a little slippery.
Uh-huh.
So when he got a grip of that, like, you see Al Pop do the same thing he tried earlier. But now with a little bit of sweat, helps out. He did the proper technique, just like he did the first round. But now you got the sweat working in his favor. And boom, he got out of that a couple of times. And now he's keeping it up. He's talking to him a little bit. He's landing. And you're seeing glimpses. It's like, yo, he could land. He's landing some shots, like he's coming back, and it's like you see things where it's like, this could end.
Was Khabib getting frustrated? Because it seemed like he stood up, and his corner wasn't happy with the fact that he stood for the third and fourth round, and there's no way they're happy he's going to stand there. Although Khabib's his stand up was better than I expected it to be. He was throwing some jabs, and again, he did have better stand up than I thought he would.
Did you watch the post fight stuff?
I did not know.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah, yeah.
Al never
said funny, like, though, with the stuff he was saying.
I wrote down. I was going to ask you. So they asked him, you know, you and Al were kind of talking, and it seemed like when you were in the corner, you were talking to Al's team, and he's like, he mentioned you, and he was like, you know, Matt Serra was there. He was telling Al the right things.
Yeah.
And I was laughing. Was, you know, he's like, usually. He tries to get in people's heads. He's like, but not these guys. He's like, that's not going to work on them.
You should have next time, we should have that shit queued up on his post-fight thing.
Oh, I can pull it up here.
You get that when you talk about him and Al talking.
Yeah.
That is so great.
Well, do you remember what he was saying to you?
You know what it was? I know he said a couple things to me, but it was like, I remember specifically when there was a minute left. When he had him up against the cage right near us.
Right.
And I was telling Al what the certain things what to do, what to watch out for, because we knew we were going to be in certain positions. But what happens is giving up the back is a big no-no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But what's the alternative? Getting grinded and beating the shit out of him? No. You're going to take some. We knew, and Al knew, that he's going to be taking some shots, and there's a certain, you know, danger in exposing your back. But what is the other option if you can't get up? I'm not attacking Edson Barboza or anybody, Michael Johnson, being pinned up against there when he's beating the shit out of you just hoping the guy takes a Kimura. Fuck that. Al's good in scrambles. He's a good wrestler. He was exposing his back, but he did not take much damage from those.
He didn't seem to hurt at all.
No, and he kept making him adjust, making him try to control him.
I was amazed how many times he got out of that.
Got up.
Back, almost a rear naked choke. Four times, and he got out of it.
And it was taking its toll on Khabib, too. More than you'd think.
Absolutely. Khabib looked tired.
It was one of those fights.
I think if it went one more round, he would have knocked him out.
Listen, he was still in the fight. It ended with Khabib on his back.
Absolutely.
But he was still in that fucking... How would it end after a while? Who knows? I mean, Al was in it to the fucking end. He was dangerous to the end. It was so... Guys who would have normally faded by then... Al was in there, and I won't do as much justice with Khabib saying about him talking to Al.
Yeah, I'm fine to get on here.
It's a little bit in there. It's
they were going back and forth in the ring, though. You can see
he's talking about hitting him with the jab, and he talks about how he likes to talk to people to get in the head. Why not get in the head?
Sure.
Yeah. He's saying how it doesn't work for Iaquinta. I like the way he says Iaquinta, though. It doesn't work for Iaquinta. Iaquinta. It does not work on him.
So you guys find out.
He's true Brooklyn gangster. No, he was, that was so great.
You guys find out that Al's fighting. How do you formulate a strategy that quickly?
Well, it's like this. It's not a major, major game plan. It's more like, all right, let's work on some worst case scenarios. Like, you know, Ray was going over stuff, obviously, on the feet. We're keeping them nice and crisp, and we hit some pads. The day of the fight, we went down. So we didn't have to go down to the arena till 9 p.m. because he's the main event. So at like 4 p.m., we were in like a workout like room in like the hotel where the fighters that were leaving for the prelims and whatnot were walking through us. Like, they were walking through where we were still working, you know?
Right.
And so Ray would hold for him, and then I was going over certain things on the floor, like positions where he could really get screwed. Well, you know, listen, from here in half guard, our arm, that don't keep it underneath, you can't hide it. Hook on his neck, so certain ways where it's hard for him to get that Kimura that he's good at. Look to do certain escapes on bottom. And then we're going over stuff against the cage where if you're going to get pinned, like stuff where you're going to be exposing the back. But it was like basically what you saw. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
Where he'd expose it, but then he would get the back to the cage, and it wasn't easy, but it was working. Al's got
the
juice to keep that. He made him keep moving. So it's like, it's one thing if a guy stops for a second down there, a guy starts landing on him. Next thing you know, it's over. It could have been easy for Al to stop moving for 5 seconds, cover up, and they'll break that fight up.
There was a couple times where he put his hands up, and I was like, oh, fuck.
No, but then he went right back.
Yeah.
And it was a position where, fuck, man. It was like when you're up, when you're belly down and a guy's got you flattened out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's right there. It's so hard to get out of that. But between Al going back up into that turtle position and moving from there, and also when he was down flat, it's almost like an upside down elbow escape. Like when I'm belly down, I would use my left knee, it has to scrape across, find the floor to my right elbow. And then I can start getting my back to the floor and looking him in the face, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course.
You know, turning around, I'm swiveling around in my chair. Like
I understand, I couldn't do it, but
you know what I mean?
I can follow
so
what you're
like,
explaining.
Al was just... He was like, oh no, he's in a bad position. But no, he's not. He's moving him. He's making him. You can't keep to control the guy and work him over at the same time. So yes, he was getting controlled, but he wasn't doing much damage down there. You know what I mean? Yeah. He got cut up a little bit from that those jabs. Did you get that audio?
I think this might be the part, but I was going to say, I mean, but this is what would happen if Tony Ferguson fought him. He would have to take damage to get to a better position. Khabib's going to take you down.
Joe Rogan said, he was saying, was it Rogan? I believe it was Rogan. He was saying that fucking Conor McGregor and Tony, for everybody's being given a big thank you to fucking Raging Al.
Yeah.
Because nobody ever was able to, he was able to withstand that fucking tornado, that storm.
Yep.
And he weathered it.
Absolutely.
He weathered it.
Absolutely.
Taking minimum damage. And then fucking, then all of a sudden he's in that fight. Yeah. Then all of a sudden the takedowns are harder to get. And you're like, holy fuck, man, he could do this. He was in that fight. There was a time, I watched it at home afterwards, you know. And there was a time, like that third round, when you see me go, after the third round, you see me go up to the fucking thing. And I'm just like, fuck yeah, Raging Al, just nuts. Like, and like, it was just, it's so organic, man. We were in a fucking fight versus the fucking, one of the most dangerous grappler on the planet. Yeah. Fucking awesome, Jimmy. It was so awesome to be a part of that. And I'm so proud of Raging Al.
Dude, he had no time to prepare.
Raging Al is, I'm a big fan now, man.
Isn't it amazing?
I mean, and Chuck, a lot of people feel the same way.
He was getting ready
inspiration,
for a three-round
he had heart,
slugger.
He had balls, he had everything. He wasn't taking no for an answer, man.
You had that thought?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to guess that this is
let
the
me
part.
See, let me see.
I will say this, too, though. Yeah.
Go ahead.
It was still, there was still a part of me heartbroken that I didn't get to see him and Felder bang, because I did want to see that, too. Him and Paul Felder's a fight I still want to see happen in the future. Yeah. That's a tremendous
and we're gonna,
fight.
Yeah, for sure, man. I feel bad for Paul. We'll talk about the guys that, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to get to
the victims of this
stuff.
Card of guys. Yeah, we're going to get to that after, for sure.
All right, let's see. Let's see. We can try to find it.
Only because I love the way this guy talks, Khabib. I mean, he's just really.
Yeah.
All right.
He was funny at the press conference.
This is the press conference.
This is, I found it. Here we go.
Where he said, if King Kong can make 155, I'll fight him.
Yeah. all right, here we go.
Let's see that.
It seemed like you were talking to him. What were you saying to him?
Quinta?
Yeah, what were you saying?
Yeah, we talked a little bit. Like, I give him jab, 1, 2, 3, 4. I said 4. He said, 1 more, and I give him fake, you know, and I said no, you know, like a little bit talk. I talk with Metzera a little bit.
What
did
you say to him?
Like I take him down, Metzera give him like good stuff, do this, like, and I think, okay, it's working, you know, like, and I talk with him like a little bit, like good job, Matt, like this.
great. Love this guy.
You know, like, it's fun. You know, like, if you can speak with your opponent, like play his with mine, you know, if this work, why not? You know, why not? And but with the Akinta, it's not working. I feel it's not working. He keep going. He's real Brooklyn gangster. He's not Brooklyn king.
Yeah. Yeah, he said Connor wants to fight Bus.
Yeah,
he's a real gangster.
Great.
But that's it, man. I mean, how could you not respect Al? And I mean, listen, first of all, too, his whole team, you know, they were in here the week before.
Right.
Khabib and his team and Ali and all those guys. What gentlemen. What, I met his brother before the fight. Nice. What a nice guy. Interesting. They might look like some scary dudes, but what nice people. You know, like he said, even in the cage, when I believe, I remember one part when he was right up against there, and he said something to me, and I was cut, and I'm like, nah, Khabib, I'm talking to Al. I was talking to Al, because I'm like, a minute left now. And I think he said something. Oh, thank you, Matt. I don't know what he said. I'm like,
thank you, Matt.
Guy's a scary motherfucker. His big head is right there up against the cage. I'm like, nah, Khabib, I'm talking to Al. But it was it was funny, you know? I like that guy. I like his whole team. We always had a good relationship with Javi Mendez.
That whole thing is a huge, huge bump for Al, because he steps into a situation that he is not prepared for. He's not prepared for a 5-round fight, and he goes the distance, and he takes minimal damage. He got a few shots in the face, but he never looked like he was hurt. He never looked like, oh, fuck. One moment where I'm like, oh, I think Khabib stung him with that. It might have been the 4th round or the 5th round. He looked mildly stung, and that's the only damage he seemed like he took.
I love that with the... He said something like, yeah, I hit you with 4 jabs. And I was like, give me another one. I love that shit. Because I seen him talking to it. I'm like, this is, it was so great. It was like everything you wanted. You know what I mean? Well, not everything. If he would have fucking,
that's what I'm saying, a Rocky Balboa, man, right? Just like the movie. He said, come on, that's all you got.
Well, that is the thing. It seemed like at one point Al realized, oh, if I let him jab me, he's not going to try to take me down. Al's willing to take the shot, and then if he counter punches, obviously he only needs one punch.
A few of them were close,
for sure.
You know, they came right back. It was just such a.
How did Al feel afterwards? I hope he felt good afterwards.
He was good. He had to go to get stitched up, you know, or get his face looked at or whatever. But you know, he was some idiot. Some you know, you see people online, they're like, "Oh, Al acting like he thought he won that fight." No, you morons. He was obviously joking.
Yeah.
Like when they were reading the card, you see him like, oh. Was he like, he made like he was upset.
That's
he knew,
pretty funny.
He knew he didn't win, but
that's,
you know what? Funny. In a lot of ways,
you know,
and somebody
he
said
was on
this,
his feet. For five rounds with like you're saying, an animal. So
right, and
he
what's
did a
really,
great job.
You know what's really sick is that somebody said this from Alongo, repeated it to me, that this loss with Khabib is, and this is no disrespect at all, because I hold this other guy in high regards too. It's almost better than a finish of or a win over Felder.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, absolutely. Nobody's done this.
Absolutely.
And I feel, listen, and we're gonna get into that. We should get into that Conor stuff too, because I
what
really.
Yeah. Did you miss it?
If nobody heard of Quinter at before that fight, everybody knows him after.
Damn, you know, the diehards knew him, but now everybody's like, look at this guy fighting this
absolutely.
Superpower.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
We just, the whole team just loved it because, like, when you look at, like, you know, every team's, you know, I'm sure a lot of teams are like families and stuff like that, but we have a team that fights, you know, the best on the planet and produce champions, but we're not a huge fucking American top team.
Right.
It's me and Longo and our crew. You know what I mean? And from that crew, like, it's just so awesome that, like, we're talking about this the night before, and it's like we're taking on, like, this. We take on, like, the other best in every country. Like, you know, that day I had the good night I had with George from, you know, that's the best of Canada. We took on the best of Brazil with Chris, and now we're fighting the best of Russia. Just this, our fucking, it's just so, it just gets us pumped up. Like, you know, does that make sense? Like, it's
of
like,
course.
Like, you know, like, I took on Canada's best. Wyman shocked the fucking world, took out Anderson Silva, winning best of all time. Now we got Raging Al fighting fucking Khabib. It just gives us such pride, such like, yeah, man, fuck everybody. In a nice way.
Yeah.
You know?
And with Al fighting Khabib, dude, it was so many things that could have stopped. Like, it just, Holloway, the athletic commission yanks him. Pettis again, maybe there was a pricing difference. Paul Felder, 155, the athletic commission won't let him fight because they say he's not ready. It's like, who the fuck are they to
he's
say
not
that?
Ready. Right. Hey, Paul Felder's but Al gets it. Al understands. He's like, look, man, like he knows. He's like, look, man, yeah, this is a dangerous fight, Khabib, but
sure.
Fuck, man, so is Paul. Paul right. Felder's yeah. a fucking dangerous. Yeah. Not only is it a dangerous fight, he's not ranked. I mean, if he loses the Khabib, everybody loses the fucking Khabib. But I'll tell you, that he was in that fight. Nobody expected that. What happened those first two rounds, they thought was going to happen every round or until he got finished. Or it shouldn't be going to the fourth round or third round or what. You know what I mean?
Yep.
People said it wasn't going to the first round. What, are you kidding me?
And he got him down fairly quickly. He got him down within the first couple of minutes, I'd say.
Did he try to take Khabib down a couple times? I was like, oh, yes.
This is what.
No.
This is another thing that.
What are you doing?
This is another thing that I love that right away, because listen, we had less than 24 hours. We took this fight. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, pretty much. I mean, around that. So we were talking also, and Al's very good. If you watch his fights, Al's got good wrestling, really good wrestling. Yeah. But Al does a lot. Well, he'll shoot and he'll take that single leg, and he'll either look to finish with it, or sometimes he'll just fucking drop it and start unload. You know what I mean? He's done this before. So it gets you thinking. So then all of a sudden, like, there was a certain part where there's the third or fourth round where you see him shooting, grabbing the leg, letting it go. I'm like, yeah, motherfucker. I fucking love it. I love it. Because it was just like all the stuff like, man, maybe he could do this, maybe he could do that. And all of a sudden he's just doing it, man. That third round where other guys would have been just gassed out by then or scared to death. And this is one thing, another thing, let me tell you about Raging Al. When you watch Khabib fight, all of Khabib's last fights, guys are trying to stay away from him.
Right.
Hey, man, I just got to stay away and hit him, stay away and hit him and stay away and hit him. And they get exhausted trying to get away from this guy who's just stalking him down. Al conquered that center of the fucking cage. He goes, I'm going right in the center. And he fucking lowered his stance. And he was like, nope, he drew the line in the sand. You're not getting me to that fucking black line that's up against the cage. You're not getting me there, you know? And you know, listen, you might find yourself there and you're fighting. But, man, every round you see now, he's not trying to stay away and kick. And I'm not shitting on other guys because that's not even, that could be the smart game plan. Right. But fucking, I'm not saying Al's crazy like Joe Rogan is, but I'll tell you this. Al is the most at home. See, sometimes he might be awkward in front of a mic. It's normal. You can say that. It's fine. And he'll be the first to admit that. But he is never more at home than he's when he is in that fucking octagon. He's so, that's when he's the most comfortable.
He looked relaxed walking out. He didn't look absolutely frightened. Dude. I'm like, he looks really comfortable considering what he's about to do.
Dude, we're back there before we walked out and it gets a little, you know, it always gets a little quiet. You know what? Listen, being a trainer, you never want to be that. I remember one of the, a reporter asked me, a friend of mine too, from Long Island. He's like, oh, you know, what kind of speech you're getting before you walk? I go, before you walk out or before you this and that, you know? I mean, I go, dude, this guy doesn't need no Braveheart speech, man. It has to be. We've witnessed other guys, and Al was with me before, and I probably said this before here, where we witnessed other guys in our locker room, like, try to give, like, a fucking, a prepared thing to that fighter. Like, remember, you're here because you're number one, and, you know, you don't want to be number two or three. You want to be, and remember how hard you, dude. And I, like, they'd leave the walk out, and this is a while ago, actually, before the Al's fights. And Al would just look at us and go, man, Al's a quiet kid. He goes, man, thank God you guys don't do that shit. He goes, because he knows we're not fucking full of shit, you know? Like, if we're saying something we mean, not that those guys are full of shit, but sometimes guys do that shit because it's more for them than it is the fucking
what's
guy.
Worse than getting a Braveheart speech than getting knocked out fucking, right? You know, yeah. 4 minutes left in the first
man.
Round?
If that, no, we're also waiting it to go out. It's a little, gets a little quiet sometimes, and Al's just like, let's go. Like, he's just fucking... But he's, like, not doing it to hype himself. But he's just in it, man. He loves it. He fucking loves it. Just like Tony Ferguson does that El Cucuy dance in there when he's having a good time. Al's not a big dancer, but he fucking likes that. He loves it in there. You can tell he loves it.
When you guys were in the back, did you get to watch the fight right before? Or are you so not concentrated?
Oh, yeah. I saw Joanna and Rose. Let's talk about that a little bit.
I just wanted to ask your opinion because I didn't have that 49-46
Rose.
I thought that I was happy Rose won it. I was like, maybe 48-47. I think 49-46 I thought was a little offside. What did you think?
Well, she definitely won the fight.
Yeah.
I mean, she's I love her too.
Rose.
You think she
Rose.
Definitely won the fight, Chuck?
A lot of people
Go ahead, Chuck.
I definitely think she won the fight. I just don't like the other one. I mean, I think they're friends anyway, but when she gets in her face with the fingers and the
now,
whole thing,
Chuck,
that gets me a little
you
crazy.
Are you giving your decision with your heart or your head? Right now.
No, I
know. In other words, you're saying you
fight.
Don't like the other one because
that's not to do with anything. She's a great fighter, but I thought Rose beat her decisively the first time, of course, and I thought she won this one.
Yeah, Jimmy,
it was close.
What are your thoughts?
It was
Jimmy?
Closer.
No, it was close.
I know that the figure I heard right after the fight was that it was like 120-85 significant strikes or significant strikes in favor of Joanna. I heard Rose had more headshots. Here's why. At first, I was like, it looked like Joanna might have won that fight. But then when you looked at the damage she took, I think Rose hit her harder and did more damaging strikes. Yeah. That I was okay with
absolutely.
Her getting
well, that's the other thing. Like she did land more strikes, Joanna, but a lot of them were leg kicks, and she could have landed a ton of those in one round. And you know, I thought that Rose won 1, 2, and 5.
Her That's legs were very red from being kicked. You could see it was dead, but it didn't seem like it was slowing Rose down. Her leg kicks did, like, you know, like you see those guys that get a calf kick and they fall. Like, those are damaging leg kicks. Like Barboza will get. It didn't seem like it was doing that. It just seemed like it was like a light. I'm sure it hurts, but it didn't seem to stop or hurt Rose at all.
No.
I mean, I'm going to say, I ended up watching. And again, we had Al going next fight. You know what I mean? But I was sitting watching that and. And when I was warming up a little bit, and I'm gonna say, I remember being like, "Yo, man, this might be this fifth round, might decide it," you know.
Yep.
And that was pretty close. And then she got that takedown. So you're like,
at the very end of the round,
But she was working her way back up. You know what I mean? So it's like, if it would have went to Joanna, I would have been like, you know, I was fine with that too. It was very close. Let's be honest, very close.
You could definitely see that Rose did the heavier damage
because
Joanna's face. I mean, she was all busted up.
She really looked beat up.
Rose,
She came right over me because her family was sitting right behind me. They were in the second row.
I was
in the first row. Joanna's family. So she came right up to me. I saw her as close than I am to you, Jim.
Yeah.
And she was busted up.
Yeah.
It was a close one. It was a good fight.
She proves she can take a beating too, Joanna. I mean, she's tough.
Yeah.
She's definitely tough, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what it is? I mean, Rose just, she's got that, it's like, I said it before, it's like when fucking, what's his name from The Matrix? Who's Neo. When he sees The Matrix, he starts seeing it. Yeah. Rose is seeing it now. She's like, if you look at the fighter, when she got off The Ultimate Fighter, she was talented. you know, and she killed everybody in the house and this and that, and then she lost in the finale.
Who'd she lose to in the finale? Do you remember?
Tisha, not Tisha Torres.
No, Carlos Sparks.
I'm sorry. They're not. They're both short. Like, and I just seen her with her. Wait, she lost to whom? She lost to
Carlos Sparks.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Joanna came in and shocked everybody and beat up Carla in that first fight. Yeah.
But you know, she's improved so much. Like, she believes in like everything. Her stand up, and I feel like she's really. Like, she never looked better. She's looking phenomenal.
Yeah. I want to ask you a question, too. It's a Raging Al question. I forgot to ask you. I saw Cormier was sitting right in front of me. So I was annoyed that they, like, if Al would have won. I was happy Dana was going to give him, like, the belt or whatever. They couldn't have done it in New York. I was really annoyed. I'm like, did the athletic commission fuck Al by not letting him weigh in again with 0.2 pounds? And he had his shorts on. But Cormier said no. He said by that point he probably started rehydrating, yeah. And if he weighed in again, he would have been a lot heavier. So was that the case by the time you guys found out?
I'm gonna say that's probably the case. Okay, because I remember Al was eating spaghetti when we got to fucking when he was in the goat when we were talking about the thing. So I'm like, I don't think he's gonna get back on that scale. But
so the athletic commission didn't screw him.
He did weigh in with his. He was one. No, what's sick about it is he was 155.
Right.
He weighed in on the scale, and they took a picture of the underwear on the scale, and it was exactly 0.2. Right. So he was 0.2, so he would have been the weight.
They should always.
But he didn't know. Who the fuck knows?
You never know. But from now on, that's a lesson to be learned.
No, always. Fuck that. That's not a lesson.
No, you got to
fuel up after that.
I'm saying weigh in naked. Weigh in naked. That's the lesson. If you can make the weight by taking your shorts off, do it, because you never know who's going to drop out.
That's what I was going to say. If you're on the card and the championship fight on that card is your weight class, if it's not going to kill you, try to make the championship weight in New York.
Just in case.
Al would know.
This guy,
some guys make, he could have been 156. He's allowed a pound.
Yes.
Right.
And I understand what you're saying.
But he easily could have been 155.
When he was 155 too, and you don't know this coming, but like, fuck it, do the weight. See if you can get by taking the shorts off. Do the 155, because Felder had been ranked, he would have got that fight. I'm happy Al got.
Well, the bottom line is, if Al had won, he'd be the champ.
He would. They wouldn't have belted him in New York, though, right?
Who
knows? That's all.
I don't know. I heard they wouldn't because he was 0.2 over.
It seemed like Dana, because the commission put a statement out, and they were like, we're not going to recognize him as the champion,
but they can
do whatever they want.
Okay,
absolutely.
You know,
so absolutely.
I think he probably would have given
it. The athletic commission just wouldn't recognize
him. Of course, you
had to. Yeah.
How could you not?
And by the way, that asshole from Showtime, by the way, I shouldn't say that because I may want to do a special for Showtime. that man who I don't know how I feel about him, he's probably a good man with a good heart.
What Dana was talking about?
Yeah. The guy.
What did he say?
The guy came out and he was like, well, I guess they could follow whatever rules they want. 150, and it's like, boxing, really? Boxing is in a position to fucking criticize?
Right.
Because Dana's going to give the guy the belt?
Espinosa tweeted, it's Steven Espinosa's the, like,
does he have anything to do with the comedy division?
No, I don't think
so. Fuck him.
He tweeted, like, as all this was going on with, is the title on the line? Is it not on the line? You know, all the chaos that was going on. He tweeted, and they claim boxing is lawless. Never heard a boxing match declared a title fight for both fighters, even though one fighter failed to make weight. Congrats, UFC. You far outdone boxing in terms of shadiness. But why bother adhering to rules when you don't feel like it?
Yeah, when's the last time you had cement in somebody's UFC gloves? Fucking asshole.
Yeah, really. And then, Dana was like, told him to fuck off.
Yeah, Dana handled it properly on Twitter. So they're saying Floyd is not. Nobody wants to see Floyd fight MMA. Stop. I don't care. They're saying, well, Mayweather would have to do it with Showtime. And then they're saying, well, Dana's going, fuck it, we'll do it with HBO.
Yeah, he was joking.
We should address Conor, though. That whole debacle. Yeah, sure. And by the way, Matt Les said something to me back when I saw you in the back. When I was annoying Zabit Magomed Sharipov for a photo.
You guys look like you were talking like old friends.
No, I shook his hand. I didn't realize he had an injury. I'm such an asshole. and then you said, you know, he exposed some things in Khabib. You weren't shit on Khabib, but you said he showed a kind of a roadmap to get to Khabib, to beat Khabib. And Rogan tweeted the same thing a day after you said it to me privately. That he showed some weakness in Khabib, like, this is a way.
I didn't tell you after Rogan.
No, you said it first.
All right, no, to you.
That's what I'm saying. You said it to me privately first. You said it right after the fight. You said he amazing, showed right? some. You said he exposed, but right. you weren't shitting on him.
No,
you said he would show you how you
mistake,
beat a guy like Khabib.
Right,
and you were right.
And Rogan issued kind of an apology. I mean, just kind of explained things.
I didn't hear him call on the fight because I was watching.
So on the pay per view,
you know, Chuck, we watched.
He was saying how, you know, he didn't like that Khabib kind of had his head straight up as he was going back, and that, you know, it didn't look to him at the time like championship level striking from a guy that, you know, is the champion now and looks to be in
should
that.
Be able, he shouldn't have to Like, I don't think he did a big. I read some of that so-called apology. It wasn't really an apology.
Yeah, he just said if he bothered anybody.
But you know what? I guess he has to. He doesn't have to do that.
Right.
No. Why the fuck? Why? Because people are going to get upset. Because I seen him. I watched the fight, you know?
Right.
Obviously, live. But then I watched it back on TV. And I heard his commentary. And dude, no. He was the first two rounds. But in that third round, he was like, you know, it was when it was getting interesting. He was saying, this is getting interesting. Hey, man. Right. He goes, who would have thought that he was giving Al the props of even hanging in there? But look, man, I mean, as far as it was a dominant performance, but with this switch and what and you're regarded as one of the best ever, possibly. I mean, the guy's undefeated and he's just ragdolling everybody they're putting in front of him. You expect to see the same with a guy they just took the fight in 24-hour notice when he's supposed to be fighting another guy and this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Guys need to be prepared for Khabib. Al was prepared to fight, but he's prepared to fight versus a fucking slugger.
A striker, yeah, he was prepared to do a 3-round stint. I mean, I'm sure that the prep is different for that than it is for a 5-round wrestling match.
I don't want to bring up Pettis. I don't want to attack Pettis, but I don't know why they didn't take that fight, but Pettis was getting ready for Michael Chiesa, who is a very strong grappler. He can strike. You know, he can strike like Khabib can strike.
Yeah, but you expect a grappler.
But you expect him to. I mean, I picked Chiesa.
What has Pettis
done? Strangle him.
What has Pettis done in his last couple of fights?
That was the thing. Like
is he
going into
off two
it,
losses? Yeah, no, he is right.
No, he has a win.
One win out of three. Is it?
Yeah, I think so. And that's why I was surprised because Felder's obviously been on a great run, and Al is at 5 in a row.
The rumor I heard was that it was a money issue. I didn't ask Dana that, so I don't know. He probably wouldn't have told me anyway. I heard just whispers that it was a money issue. And I think if you price yourself out of the market, it's almost like if I don't want to do a gig, if I go like, ah, fuck, I'm not going to do well there. All right, give me $800,000 and I'll do it. They're like, oh, fuck yourself. Right. You know you have the thing of, hey, they didn't give it to me.
Pettis was, since back at lightweight, he beat Jim Miller in his return to lightweight, and then he lost to Poirier. He had that rib injury in his last.
Oh, right.
But he was getting beaten in that fight.
What was the statement with Duke and Pettis and him? Did they say anything about it?
I didn't really see anything, honestly. They didn't say too much.
And him and Felder won't fight because they both they train together. Right. And Felder, I asked him on the morning show I had him on, and I asked him about it, and he said they just wouldn't fight him. And he goes, because the team would have to go with Pettis because he's been there longer. So
it's unfortunate because this, and we're gonna, now we get back to that Conor thing. You know, there's a lot of victims in that thing. And it's not just the guys like, listen, like, how about this? Like, Mike Chiesa, he got cut when they threw that, you know, when he threw the dolly into the thing. And that thing could have killed somebody, literally. I know people say that it sounds like overused.
No.
That thing could have killed that, literally.
He threw a barricade, and I first thought, I'm like, he didn't mean to do that. I'm like, he was trying to hit the bus and make a scene, and then he goes and hits the fucking front window.
Well, first of all, if you watch Embedded, you see that punk saying, break the windows. You heard that shit.
I didn't see
break the windows, motherfucker. Really? See, now I wasn't going to get excited. But I mean, what a piece of garbage, man.
You know, Reed Harris.
Who does that?
He was on that bus.
I know.
And he told me that you couldn't see what happened. You heard noise. They didn't know who it was because the windows were blacked out.
They could have thought it was terrorists. I've been on those same buses.
He said if that hand truck did not hit the window frame and went through the window, it would kill somebody.
Of course.
Because it weighs 55 pounds.
Right.
And like the point of it could have got him. I mean, there was like a bar between that it hit. Like it didn't hit it. Yeah, the frame, exactly. Yeah.
The window frame.
That definitely could have killed somebody. I heard Rose was really, really shaken up.
She almost didn't fight.
Al was on that bus with Khabib. You know what I mean? And Latifi. Latifi wasn't letting anybody off. I ran into Latifi, by the way.
Oh, great.
And what a nice guy.
Yeah, we like him.
What a sweetheart of a guy. And he wants to come in here.
Great.
And so I told him we're going to get him in. I got his number. I'm going to get him in here. But so he said, no, I wasn't letting anybody off. And he's a big dude, you know.
Yeah, he is. Right.
He goes, I wasn't letting anybody off the bus. I was standing in front and on the door. And, you know, at first they said they just heard a lot of banging on the – and they didn't know. You know, you might – terrorists, you don't know what it is. And then they saw Connor.
Someone got
– that's – well, you just came up with that word, terrorist. Yeah. He's lucky he didn't get charged with a terrorist act.
Oh, that's why.
Because he came from another country, came here with 20 guys to start trouble and attack Khabib. So he's lucky he didn't get charged with that.
You know what's really sick about this is that, dude, all right, you feel this guy, and let's talk, let's say that he came over there saying, because he feels that they either punked his boy Artem.
Yeah.
Like, they, you know, because Khabib had some words with him. There's a video of that.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I didn't really smack him in the face, but he gave
no,
him
he
little,
put his hand on his head, but it wasn't a smack.
Yeah, but look.
It was almost like big brothery. It
yeah, but he didn't feel like menace.
No,
but, he had to talk with him, man to man. They weren't jumping him. They weren't going to punk him. Like, no. They weren't. I don't think Artem felt like he was going to get, if he was scared at all, it was probably because of Khabib.
Right.
And Khabib, listen, Khabib said it best, man. You got a problem with him. Give him a call, man. You want to be a true gangster? Say, man, you want to be that guy? Hey, man, get in touch with him. Meet me under the Brooklyn Bridge, motherfucker. Like, you want to be that? No, you don't want to be that guy. This is what you want. This is what Conor wants to do. He wants to get her. He wants to make a scene because it's good for him.
Yeah.
And if he got off the, if let's see Khabib got off the bus, by the time he did a single double leg on him, it's getting broken up.
Yeah, it's not.
So he's not. He knows he's not going to be able to get fucking humbled the way or he's, he knows he's not going to get his ass beat. It's going to get broken up.
Right.
Maybe he can get a shot or two in, then it gets broken up. So it's like he's it's the ultimate bitch move. So all these little kids that are like, oh man, that's gangster. He got on the plane and he, easy Tony Montana.
He was coming all to right. the fucking, he's probably going to come anyway. He probably had to come anyway because that's the next fight he's having.
That's what I thought. He was going to come with Artem.
That
you know?
Game plan he came up with was so retarded, man. It's just crazy because if he came and watched the fight, he would have been a hero because a lot of people follow him. A lot of people like him.
Yeah.
But he lost a lot of fans that day when he did that.
You're putting people's lives.
And absolutely.
Like when you did that,
absolutely.
And
you don't know who's sitting behind that glass.
Exactly.
So he didn't know who he threw that thing at.
Dude,
so
it's garbage,
it could have been the girl. It could have been Rose got hit.
It was close.
She almost did. And I heard that. I mean, the fact that, and what a dummy he is, because you're going to get sued. Obviously, not only Chiesa, but Ray Borg, whose fucking career could have been ended with cornea damage. Brennan Moreno. And Felder didn't get to fight because of Al. So I don't know if that.
No, but this is another right. Listen. How about
no?
This?
But Alex Caceres because of Lobov.
Yes. Yeah.
But wait, now what about all these guys that didn't get? Now look, the guys on that bus. Everybody with this, who's, they're going to be getting paid, man.
They're probably going
to be getting a lawsuit.
And win bonuses. They're
and
get
I felt
win
bad
bonuses.
For, I felt bad
they
for
get their
Chiesa.
Show money, Dennis, I think. Yeah.
But they'll get win bonuses from Conor.
Oh, sure.
They have a shot.
Yeah, that's their win bonus.
Yeah.
But now, all right, what about the guys that, okay, they weren't on the bus. They didn't get a cut. They didn't get any kind of lawsuit. But now, Paul Felder went through a camp.
Right.
All these guys that went, now, I feel bad for Paul Felder. How about that? Because he wanted that Khabib fight. He wanted it, too.
Oh,
that's
sure
the difference between him and other people. Like he wanted that
well,
fight.
But he didn't. The fight did Conor's thing fuck up Felder or no? That didn't have anything to do with it.
No. What's that?
No, that wasn't the Conor incident.
Right,
but because
right.
Holloway missed, then you know, Al ends up stepping in, and then.
But then again, if it wasn't for that, could Chiesa have fought Felder?
Oh, I'd say probably be Chiesa. No.
Like so, they so
yeah,
he could have gotten
Chiesa
a fight.
Was a little. What's that?
They could have had a fight.
Yeah,
Felder could have gotten a fight.
Well, my point is by Al fighting Khabib. Actually, that was because of Max Holloway, right?
Yes, Holloway. Yeah. Well, Holloway.
It's confusing.
Such
so
crazy.
Much.
So much
so
happened
crazy.
This
yeah.
fucking week.
Yeah.
You know? I do feel bad for that guy,
well,
Paul Felder, though.
The bottom line is the $150 million he made with Mayweather, he's going to be spending that on lawsuits.
Oh, he's spending a lot of it. I
he
mean,
will be spending some
oh, he's
going to
be losing. He'll be I'd say he'll be losing millions.
A lot. Millions.
I'll say millions.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Yeah, what about the bus company? What about the Barclays Center? What
absolutely.
About all these motherfuckers?
And the UFC employee he hurt who got
Ozzy,
a couple
man,
of
I know
oh,
that
Oh, yeah,
dude.
He got
nice
tendons problem.
I seen him all wrapped
and
up.
And I'm sure the UFC, Dana White's going to fine him.
You know, you wonder, will the UFC sue him? I think they're in contract negotiations. He's still valuable. So you wonder, will they sue absolutely. Him? Or will this be like, you know, we have a huge lawsuit
well,
against
you?
Know
what? You can't slap him on the hand either. You got to do some kind of
but do you
sanction.
Get a, I mean, it's, do you get a better contract from him now? Like, we want two fights for this instead of this, and we won't sue you. So do you take it out financially that way by getting a better deal out of him? I don't know.
This was
well,
the
Matt
real,
said also
move.
About Barclays Center. They'll
yeah,
sue him. Man. The bus that he wrecked, they're going to sue him. Because I heard it was
sure. But like
you know, $100,000 bus or something.
Yeah.
And listen, not for nothing, Michael Chiesa, when he, as far as a lawsuit, it's one thing getting cut and this and that. Anytime you have an opportunity to fight like this, any fight in the UFC on that stage could change your life.
Right.
It could
that's
change.
Right.
It's not about, oh, I lost my win bonus. Because
right.
No. You could have the performance of a lifetime to set you up for your next title shot. Or, I mean, it could change your life. You could have an ultimate highlight. You could put on the performance of your life after this hard training camp. No, he robbed you of your dream, this guy. I should be a fucking lawyer. I'll go in there. Hey, judge, these utes, this ute over here.
Yes.
He should have got the fucking win bonus. No,
but you're right.
Seriously, man, it's more than just money. He robbed them of their dreams, Jimmy.
Well, he may or may not have. There may have been an offer made to. Chiesa may have requested something, and his manager may have come back and said, "No, we'll do this." So they're probably going to have to work it out. But I understood that Michael Chiesa had a figure in mind. That's all that I understand.
What are we talking about? As far as money?
Yeah. And then I don't know if it's true, and I was told, but I just heard that Michael Chiesa asked for something, and he was offered.
Already?
How do you hear these things?
I just hear them. I don't want to say in case it's not true or in case it was only told to one person. Right. But I mean, like, if that's true, his managers are fucking dope to not take that. His managers are dope. If Connor's manager didn't take that and tried to negotiate down a little, he's stupid. Hey, and I'm not trying to be mysterious. I just don't want to break somebody's confidence.
You can't say,
if they've told me something in confidence.
Well, all I know is, man, Connor, stupidest thing.
It was not a bad career move.
It was bad. But look, UFC fighters are tough.
Tough, Jimmy?
Well, you know what else is tough, Matt?
What? Toyo tires?
Look, the newly crowned UFC lightweight champion, Khabib Nurmagomedov, is 26-0 inside the octagon. He just refuses to go down in a fight. He is impressively durable, just like
Toyo tires.
That's why Toyo's been a proud sponsor of the UFC, just like the UFC fighters. Toyo tires are built for battle. It's an all or nothing philosophy. Durability, aggressive design, on and off road capabilities. Yes to all of them. Yes. Living life on the highway, Toyo has you covered. You're spending some serious time off road, they got a tire for that too. No matter what you drive, Toyo has what you need. And frankly, these tires just look cool. You don't want sucky looking tires on your vehicle, because no matter how durable they are, if you look awful in your car, you know, no one's sleeping with you anyway. Any vehicle, every terrain, all or nothing, Toyo tires.
Love it.
The next time you need tires, ask for Toyo, T-O-Y-O. To experience more, visit toyotires.com/UFC.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up Podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations. But most of it's going to be mid pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Klay and Steph. And a lot of transition. So you have to guard the 3-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation, because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details.
I'm going to do a movie minute later, guys.
Okay, all good. Right. Yeah, I did. Max said he was at the movies with his family. We should just finish up the rest of the car.
We got our picks done, too, by the way.
Yeah, we did. And yeah. I was sincere in my pick. I thought he had a shot at a first round KO.
Yeah, that's what I took too. I texted Matt and I was like, "Hey, I know you're busy, obviously, but like, let's get the picks in." Yeah. And he had Raging Al by first round knockout. So did I, because why not, man?
I figured there's the underdog story, and Khabib will not be ready for him.
Right.
And it's like I thought Al was going to try to. I say he's going to try to knock him out in the first round because he trained for a 3-round fight and he doesn't want to get into rounds 4 and 5 with this fucking guy.
I had such a good time in that corner, Jimmy. I was so proud of Raging Al.
You should be.
When I think of Raging Al in that fight, I just, I, yes, no, yes, he deserves that. He deserves it because he's awesome. He's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm
really
just
is.
Home. I think about the fight. I'm just, I love it. I just laugh. All right, guys. I'm
back. Joe Lazan, by the way. We didn't have, we didn't pick that.
Yeah, we forgot. I thought
Grutzenmacher is how you say
Grutzenmacher. Grutzenmacher. Yeah.
He beat it. Lazan didn't come out for the third, right? He the first and second.
He took a hell of a beating.
He really did, right?
He was in our locker room. He was. I really like Joe Lazan as a person and his whole camp.
Very tough.
He, I'm gonna say, I don't. Listen, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But if you're having some trouble, maybe you should fix something. Dude, that dude did a fucking UFC fight in the locker room. He puts one of his buddies with a headgear on, and he's beating him up. He's throwing him. He looked fucking. Joe Lazan looked awesome in the fucking locker room. I'm wondering if he should have saved some. I'm not being a dick at all. I love Joe, but dude, I don't know, man. Maybe save some for the cage. Dude, all I know is he was fucking. I should have taped it. He was put on a clinic, and some guys like to get warmed up more than others.
Yeah,
but maybe save some of that shit because he was moving, man.
His team threw in the towel, right? Not him. I'm sure he didn't say I don't want to fight. It was probably one of his guys. They're a
tight group.
Yep, and that was the right call. I mean, watching up, on TV too, like he was taking a.
I thought it was a doctor stoppage, but no.
He is a huge gamer. I mean, he's a game fighter. But he's also a huge video gamer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I seen him before we went at the weigh-ins. It's like a Joe Lazan. I go, get over here. I go, listen, we got to talk. I got this new video game. I got the Vive system. This Chuck, this might be a little. I know you're used to the Atari and stuff. You weren't a big video game guy, were you?
I was actually on EA Sports myself.
What were you doing in EA Sports?
Back in the day.
What are you doing in EA Sports? What are you talking about?
They had me as a fighter on there.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What game?
Probably one of the boxing, like the Fight Night games or whatever.
Yeah, it was EA when it first came out.
That's fucking awesome, Chuck.
Yeah.
So,
and it's crazy because they had my image, you know, when they scan you and everything.
Yeah,
they had my tattoo on me. They had everything. It was pretty wild. It looked just like me.
They had some for me. I did a few of those UFC fights, UFC video games. Some of them look good. Some of them I look like a little. I mean, it would be like if I took my shirt off now, a little fat guy.
Oh, come on, Matt. You look good.
Thank you, Jimmy.
You're welcome.
But I got my shirt on, though. But I rolled this morning. Oh, so much fun. When are you going to start doing jiu-jitsu with me? Why don't you do some kimuras? You already got the hands. You're not too old for this shit. Look at you.
What are you talking about? I train with Enzo.
But I
haven't been there in a while. I mean, I've been just running around doing movies and everything. I'm blessed.
Are you busy? Yeah. Tell me, what are you doing lately? Tell me, let's talk a little bit about you, Chuck. Come on,
I got
man.
Like six movies coming out this summer.
Yeah?
And I just got one yesterday with Robert Davi called The Mott Haven. He got me on a show. And we're actually doing a thing, a series in Miami called Paper Empire.
Holy shit.
That we're working on.
And where?
And I just left Rhode Island 4 days ago.
Yeah.
And I was up there with Chaz Palminteri, Don Johnson, William Forsythe.
Don Johnson.
Burt Young.
Are you telling
Vinny Pestor, myself. And a thing called Vault.
I thought you were going to tell me it was a Miami Vice reboot.
No. He looks great.
I heard Don Johnson. I go,
Don Johnson looks good.
Burt Young from Rocky.
How old
is Burt Young?
He's not young.
78.
Wow.
78. Don Johnson's 68. Chaz is my age, 65. And, of course, Vinny Pastore is 72. So he's got some old guys up there. Yeah, he's
got some old school guys. You're the youngin' with
that
group.
The Vault. And, I don't know about the youngin', but it's called The Vault.
Is it about the old club in New York?
No, it's about the 1975 up in Providence when the Irish mob robbed the Italians. It's a true story.
Yeah?
Of $35 million.
Now, you're part of the... I'm going to say you're part of the Italian crew.
I'm the Italian crew. Chaz Palminteri plays the boss, and I play the underboss.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so it's a good
when
scene.
When are we going to be able to see that?
Well, they're still shooting it now.
Oh, shit.
So it's not till next year, probably.
So they robbed them of $35 million in the 70s?
In the 70s, 1975. It was called the Bonded Vault. And it was a true story.
Jimmy likes the Bondage Vault. It's a different movie. Well, you're not a little different.
You're not wrong. There's a club called The Vault in New York. It's about S&M. I never went to it. It closed.
Really?
The Vault, yeah.
You remember that? You know the name of it?
I had a tattoo shop in a day in an old bank called The Vault up in Monroe, New York. Yeah.
That whole dominatrix stuff, does the guy end up ejaculating, or I just gotta tell your balls?
Oh wait, this is a fight. This is a fight show, man.
Well, let me
have Chuck. Talk about bondage over here. Come on, guys.
We're getting off Chuck in here.
We're getting off track, man. We're getting off track.
Well, in fairness,
I like this. Chris, the producer, gets all uptight. Go ahead, Jimmy has some man.
I'll say this: you guys have your areas of expertise, and this is mine.
Okay, Jimmy.
Depends on the agreed upon price.
All right, we'll talk about that on the way to the subway, Jimmy. You know what I mean?
That's another club.
Club. All I know is when I say stuff like that, I sense the disgust from coming from the other side of the table.
No, I was interested to know the answer on that one, too.
Yeah.
What happens with that?
Okay. It depends. Honestly, some guys don't. Some guys do. I always did. Some guys prefer not to.
Oh, you would do the dominant? You would get beat
mildly,
up and stuff?
Yeah, not beat
smack
up.
Smack
you around? Not beat up.
No?
No.
Just like a hand on your throat type of thing?
Other things, too.
Finger up your nose?
Well, not my nose.
Okay. Are you one of those guys that used to hang yourself in a closet and shit?
Like, no.
Not Chuck!
David Carradine. No, now Chuck's got deep questions. So wait a second, Jim.
Chuck goes from, how can you talk about that? He's like, did you ever hang yourself in a closet?
No, autoerotic asphyxiation.
That's right, that guy, what's his name, did that? Carradine. David Carradine. Sure. Yeah, Kung Fu.
Autoerotic asphyxiation, it's called. It's apparently a big thing.
What's it called?
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
How much better could it really be?
I mean, people really do that.
Oh, yeah, they die accidentally doing it. Some guys, you're not supposed to die doing it. You're supposed to just get that. That's why, some girls like being, it's part of the thing. I get a little bit of choking is fun, but that to me is just beyond what I could enjoy.
Yeah, no, you don't want a noose around your neck.
No. Are you drinking that coffee, Chuck, or no? Are you going to drink your coffee or no?
No, that's yours. This is mine.
Okay. Are you drinking it?
Was, why?
I was going to ask you for something. I'm tired.
Can we get him another coffee for the star of the show here?
It's cold, man.
I mean, we got 8 minutes left in the show.
All right, fair enough.
It's all right.
Well, you got a foot out the door, Christopher.
No, but I'm just saying, do you want a coffee?
No, it's okay. No, forget about it now, Mr. Watching the Clock.
By the way, can we? I don't know if you saw it, Matt, because you were backstage. I was going to say the Zabit Kyle Bochniak fight was unbelievable. I don't know.
Fight of the night, yeah.
And they had a little shit at the weigh-ins, you know. Yeah. I don't know if it was.
I didn't
on,
know that.
It was not at the weigh-ins that I think you've seen. There's the they have the one in the morning,
right?
And they were getting in each other's face a little bit, which was interesting, because the other guys are on my height. Well, how tall is he? Do we know?
Yeah, I can look. Yeah, Bochniak's a smaller guy.
He was off. I mean, everybody thought he was going to get killed because the beat is so highly, tuned.
He is really hard to figure out. I mean,
But that dude was a little bit
5'7".
Spinning kicks.
He's 5'7"?
Yeah.
How, spinning is he elbows. Really, hold on a second. Is he really taller than me?
How tall are you?
Yeah, I guess 5'6". So, yeah.
How five the fuck? Six. I'm like looking at this guy like he's a little guy. I'm very wide.
Oh, you really are.
I am.
You're a squat fellow.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'm a fire hydrant of a man, I've been called. But that was a great fight, though, Chuck. Wasn't it a great fight?
Yes.
That kid was had balls, that kid.
Yeah.
Well, give me his name again.
Kyle Bochniak.
Why don't we put him up there? I like when we put them up there.
It's a beat Magomed Sharipov.
What?
It's a beat Magomed. It's a beat
who?
Magomed Sharipov.
So Zabit called out Yair Rodriguez after the fight.
Yes, he did.
Yair responded online being like, hey, like, I respect you. I think we'll meet at some point, but I have a fight kind of lined up. And then Mark Henry jumped in and was like, listen, take the fight. You know, Frankie was willing
Frankie
to fight
you.
Frankie
gave you a shot,
I
like that he said that about Frankie.
Yeah.
Because not for nothing, I like Yair too. I do. I think he's a nice kid.
Oh, yeah.
Where the fuck's he been?
Has he fought since Frankie or no?
That's his last fight.
That might have been a fucking life-changing experience. was a savage beating.
That's like one of those things when before, we said this last time, but Khabib, when he was Khabib. What the fuck? I'm looking at Zabit.
Zabit.
What Khabib was saying before he fought Max, when he was going to fight Max, he's like, he will not be the same after this fight. When he says that, that's the best shit talk ever.
Yeah.
A guy's not going to be the same after he fights you, is what he's saying.
Al's the same.
Al's even better now.
Al's fine.
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Absolutely.
He's still going to get that Felder fight. Al will get to fight Felder again.
Or he might even get to jump higher than that.
I think he should go higher now. I forget going backwards.
That's a good point. Yeah,
he's got to go forward.
You're thinking rankings. You're right.
His stock got raised.
That's true.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking as a fan. That's what I want to say.
Yeah. Oh, sure. That's a phenomenal
two guys fucking banging in the middle of the ring.
Yeah. Now he wants to fight the next number two contender. So that'll be great.
But this Kyle, how do you pronounce his last
Bochniak.
Name? Bochniak.
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 There you go.
Bochniak! I get excited when I get a name down. But Kyle Bochniak, let me tell you something. That kid, there's no quitting that kid. That third round, he started coming back. That's another little Rocky right there.
Very tough. Yeah.
What a fun fight. I enjoyed the hell out of that fight.
Yeah.
You know? And then Zabit, you start to see a little bit of not like that third round. He got a little tired. Not a little tired, maybe. I don't know.
He was tired. He was against the cage and he was banging him.
Yeah. Because he was wrestling a lot to beat.
That was another one. If they went one more round, I think this kid would beat him.
And I thought Kyle looked good in the first round, too. He was landing on him in the first round.
He's fighting his way in, man. Yeah. I know what it's like to have to fight your way in when you're a smaller guy. And that kid was all heart. And he's got a nice skill set. What's his record now, Kyle? In the UFC. What has he got?
Let me double check.
How many times did this guy kid fight in the UFC?
I want to say that might have been his third fight in the UFC.
And what, so how's he listening?
No, he's got more than that. I apologize. He's 2-3 in the UFC. Lose, win, lose.
Give me his two wins.
He has a win, a unanimous decision over Brandon Davis, which was recent. That was at 220. And he has a split decision win over Enrique Barzola. It's all decisions in the UFC, which is
and
almost
the guys,
impossible.
And the three guys he lost to?
Charles Rosa, Jeremy Kennedy, and Zabit.
All right. So,
but it doesn't mean he looks
great.
Don't
mean shit. Yeah. It don't mean nothing. This kid is a tough kid.
Yeah.
And I want to see him again.
Now, Khabib, at the end of the fight, he said he wanted to fight your old opponent.
George St. Pierre.
What do you think about that?
At 155. I just don't know how George would be at 155.
GSP said he has other unfinished business first. I think he means Connor. And does Khabib really want GSP, or is he throwing that out there to entice Connor and go, look, there's another guy out here who is a big money fight for me. So you either line up and fight, or I'm going to go with him. That might have just been a fuck you to Connor to get him in.
He said it in here, Jimmy. He said he wanted, and he said it before about George.
He did.
I think he said, and he was saying how much he looked up to him. You got to understand. George, I mean, how old is Khabib?
Khabib is
29.
He's young. Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, he was a young kid. Like, he was a teenager when he's watching George. He said that when he's watched.
Realistically, if Khabib wants McGregor, you think they're going to have to wait for him to do his legal issues first? Or
then I don't think they're holding up the whole division for that shit.
No.
No way.
No, I mean, I still want to see Khabib and Tony. I know it's crazy too. For a fifth time.
Five times already. Forget about it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, though.
But what do you do with Tony
especially
now?
Especially now after this Raging Al fight. How about this? People are now saying, before they were saying Khabib would be killing Tony, now people are like, man, maybe they, but I still think people don't realize how fucking tough, gritty, and what Raging Al did. Even though he lost, obviously, again, 24-hour notice. Imagine Al would have camped. What I'm saying? I'm just saying, this is a 20. He was in shape for a three. He didn't train for a 5-round fight.
No, he lost.
You might be like,
it's
only a couple of rounds more. That's another 10 minutes of fucking fighting. You know what I mean?
I think Khabib wants Connor. Here's why. I think Connor's a better fight for him than GSP is. I think that GSP is a more dangerous fight for Khabib than Connor is. So why would you? Even though that's a big fight, Connor's the fight. That's the fight you take. That's the one everyone wants to see.
I don't know about George getting down to that 155. Because Khabib said he didn't want him at 170.
Oh, he didn't want him at 170.
No, he wants him at 155. Not George. I don't think George can get to 155, honestly. I mean, he had a real hard time
getting
up
though.
To 185, but I think he's going to have a hard time.
170 is where he wants to be.
Yeah,
I think
it's
that's
where he should be.
Right.
That's almost like hitting on a six because you want to fuck a nine, so you want the nine to think you have other options, so you're hitting on the six.
What's
the matter with a six? Dude, I'll take two threes. I'm just saying that's his philosophy to try to get the fight you want. He doesn't want to call out Connor because then Connor's got all the...
Not me, Jimmy. I'm a married man.
I know you are.
But if I was single, though, I'd be the soccer mom bandit. I'm only kidding. That's right. I'm happily married. I don't want soccer moms. I don't want soccer moms. All right. Sorry, guys. I'm back.
You're going to have to find out what the Dana White and the UFC is going to do with McGregor first. He might be fined. He might be suspended. Who knows?
Yeah, he's got a hearing June 14th. That's the next time he'll be back in court. So
I bet you, though, they try to make that fight. Where do they fight? I mean, Vegas, maybe. Is just the best. They think the UFC.
Well, it's not going to be at Barclays. I'll tell you that.
No.
No.
It should be a Vegas fight. Did they do it in September?
It should be a Madison Square Garden fight. It's close to my house.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I was backstage and they showed they were showing people in the audience, and I saw Chip's fucking face.
Yeah.
You didn't seem happy.
I gave you a text, right?
I know. I tweeted it and people laughed.
Did you really tweet that thing?
Yeah. How happy everybody was. Got like 700 likes.
I tweeted him. I tweeted that I go, I want to go out there and punch punched Chip in his fucking face. Something
made
like that.
Me so happy. My nephew loved it.
Did he love that?
I was crazy. He was so happy.
Bobby Kelly tweeted he didn't like that you had a coffee too. He said, "Who drinks a coffee? A Starbucks at a UFC event?"
I always do. I went up there, I got coffee.
I know. I was like, "Look at this guy.
What do you want him to drink?
Exactly.
What do you want him to fall off the
I came
wagon?
Close to a fight right in that place.
What happened on that night?
Yeah, behind me, they had all those guys with the hats on, Khabib's guys.
Yeah.
And one guy was kept jumping up when Khabib, you know, stretching and showing his muscles. And he hit me once. Yeah. And so I said, all right, I'll let it pass. Then he hit me the second time. I turned around. I said, Baba, calm the fuck down, man.
I like the Baba stuff.
And he goes, oh, sorry. Yeah. You know, they were going crazy there. They were going crazy.
He was hitting you what, in the back?
No, I was in the first row. He was in the second row. So when he jumped up and he was making his fists and everything, he accidentally hit my shoulder. So I let it pass the first time. But then when he did it the second time, that's when I told him, chill the fuck out, man.
Yeah.
And I got right in his face. And he said, sorry.
I get very
I was pissed off.
Like that.
Yeah, I would have been too. I wouldn't have handled
that way. And those guys, the people behind him in the third row, because they stood like almost the whole fight, and everyone was telling them, sit down. They can't see.
They got those fucking hats on.
Yeah. Not only that, but they're, you know what? You can't see.
Yeah, exactly. So they're standing
good thing
up,
I'm in the first row because I took that.
Yeah, nah, it's rough. Stuff like that's rough. I'm not good with people with bad etiquette.
Yeah.
You know, Jimmy? I like good etiquette. I like nice
too.
People.
Yeah, I do too.
Like Khabib. Absolutely. Khabib talks to me in the cage.
Yeah, Khabib likes you. I mean, he likes he likes your team, I think. You can tell.
There was nothing but respect, like I said, before the fight, after the fight. You know what I mean?
What do you think after watching that fight? Brian Ortega was there. He's big. I mean, he's a featherweight, but he's a big dude. What do you think about him? If he had, again, someone like him makes the way he fights Khabib. Does he have a harder time with him on the ground?
Or that
Khabib
fight
a,
now,
that's a fight people would
that
love to see.
That fight now, because, you know, because of how highly regarded Brian Ortega
and he's a big
is
featherweight.
In jiu-jitsu.
I was so bad
that,
when
you know,
Frankie lost. I was so, wow.
Yeah, that's, well, that everybody feels the same way because everybody loves Frankie.
Every Frankie's a stud, man.
Nah,
that fight, who would he win when a guy almost knocked him out in the first round?
Maynard,
yeah. And he came back and, like, to beat this. It was great. And he's fighting a couple of weeks.
Versus Cub Swanson.
Yeah, April 21st.
Yeah. Wait, Frankie's on that card.
That's an AC. That's
Frankie's on the card. Yeah.
Oh fuck! Yeah. That's so great. I'm gonna be there.
Yeah, that's Atlantic City.
I'm actually going to that one too. Right.
Where is what hotel is it at again?
Well, I'm not saying at the UFC hotel. I don't know.
Why not?
No, I'm sorry. What? Where?
Oh, it's at Boardwalk Hall. Is the event?
Boardwalk Hall.
Yeah.
Is Frankie the main event? Frankie Cub.
No, Edson Barbosa. Kevin Lee is the main event, and then Frankie Cub is on.
That'll be a good card.
Yeah,
but I was so sad that Frankie lost that, man, because I love Frankie. Stud, man.
Yeah. Well, listen, Frankie, you know how many nights he ruined for people? You know what I mean?
A lot.
Frankie only got one stoppage in his whole life.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. I love
Frankie.
I was at
the fight when he knocked Mendez out in the first round.
Now, listen, Frankie's the biggest.
Daniel Rodriguez probably doesn't share your empathy for he really wrecked Yair's fucking meteoric rise fast.
Yair and Gray Maynard just hang out like, fucking Frankie.
Yeah.
Listen, hey, look what he did to Cub Swanson the first time. That was a great. That was a good fight.
How
man.
Big is Ortega? He's a big guy. He could get big. Up to 155, and I think he would do well at 155.
I love his trainer, James. I've seen those guys all week now.
James sat in his fucking seat. He looked over and smiled. It was almost like he was afraid that if he moved, somebody would sit in the seat. James sat there. He didn't piss. He sat there for the entire fight.
He's such a happy guy. I like him a lot.
He's undefeated too, right?
Ortega is. He's 12-0, I think, right?
12-0.
Or is it 13-0 at this point?
14-0-1.
14-0-1? Oh, yeah, one vacated.
Hey, Styles make vacated. Fights. A fight. I would be extremely interested in seeing a Brian Ortega versus a Khabib fight. Holy shit. Yeah. But I know he's in a different weight class right now. Right?
Yeah, but Ortega, I think, is going to be one of those guys that eventually goes up to lightweight, or he's going to try to fight it
too. Because he's a bigger guy, yeah.
Yeah, he's 5'8". I mean, he's listed 5'8", 145, but he said 164.
How big is Holloway? How tall is he? I thought Ortega was taller than 5'8".
Yeah, let's see. But I think Ortega is probably the most dangerous guy in both those divisions just because his stand-up is great and his jiu-jitsu is on a totally different level.
Well, I mean, I'd love to see. That's what I'm saying. A lot would take place on the floor with that. Yep. And then
Max is 5'11", 146.
He is big. Okay.
Yeah.
He's shown that, listen, if a guy, I mean, Al survived that, and then a lot was getting taking place on his feet at that point, you know? And again, you know, he had to do these, you know, he had to fight these rounds that he wasn't even prepared for, you know what I mean? Those championship rounds. Al hasn't fought five rounds in the UFC. You know what I mean?
He's never fought five.
I wonder if he did as an amateur. He might have did it as an
but
amateur.
But I mean in the UFC. Yeah.
In the UFC, he's not.
That's no. It's invaluable for him to do
of
that.
Course.
Yeah.
What a fucking stud.
just it. One other fight that we didn't talk about is the Renato Moicano-Calvin Kattar fight.
That's right.
Yeah. And there's a couple of big fights announced, actually, if we wanted to get to some of
those. Oh, yeah. They did. Let's see what they announced.
Oh, well, you want to just give them a quick props to
Sure.
That was
Moicano's last fight was against Ortega when Ortega submitted him.
He was having a good fight with that fight. That was a good fight.
He was guillotined. It was on the.
This was impressive. This was impressive. Calvin hurt him early. I thought he fucking. And he was in our locker room too. What a nice guy.
Yep.
But Calvin hurt him in the very. Not to the point where he's on rubber legs, but I could have swore he hurt him in the first exchange.
I think he did too.
And then you know, Renato started getting wise to things and letting shit go, and he looked great.
Right.
No?
Oh, 100%. He looked really, really good, and that's another guy now that could potentially work his way back into fighting, an Ortega or some of these guys.
Yeah, I want to see him again, because I was impressed.
Yeah, Quinta, by the way, is his first five-round fight.
By the way, what was the first-round stop? That was Evan Dunham losing to Aubie and Mercier. That fight, here's what happened. I was fucking ordering. I was sitting there. I'm in the second row, and I'm ordering a seltzer, and I want lime. And she goes, "What do you want?" And I looked at her. I went, "Lime." And I hear an explosion, and I turn to the left, and he's on the ground. I fucking missed it because this idiot didn't hear me order a lime.
Wait, which one was that?
That was Evan Dunham losing to Olivier Aubin-Mercier.
That was pretty impressive.
Yeah,
huh? That
was very, very impressive.
What's his record now?
Let me take a look.
He was tough.
Yeah, he's looking good. I think that's two or three in a row, but let me see.
Canadian.
Yep.
Yeah,
Firas Sahabi's in his corner there, yeah.
TJ was there. So they have announced, I guess because the Demetrius Johnson fight is not happening for whatever reason.
Boo.
I know. So Cody is getting the rematch, which I'm fine with. I love that first fight. Was that fourth round that he won that fight? Do you remember Garbrandt fourth round knockout? Or Tiki, whatever it was.
It was earlier.
What do you mean, Dillashaw? Dillashaw. Yeah, it was the second round at the Garden.
Yeah.
He beat him in the second round?
Yeah.
Second round.
Yep.
Why did I think that was the fourth round? I'm an asshole. That's why. All right.
Olivier Aubin-Mercier, by the way, is 11-2, four in a row. He has wins over Thibaut Gauthier, Drew Dober, Tony Martin, and Evan Dunham.
RDA, Rafael Dos Anjos against Colby Covington.
For the interim title.
Yes, and they moved that to Chicago. That was supposed to be in Brazil. I heard they wanted that in Brazil. It's a smart move to keep that in Chicago.
Yeah.
Which fight? What are we talking about?
Colby Covington against RDA.
Okay. Oh, I seen. Colby was there. I didn't run into him, but I seen Usman.
Yeah.
I was talking to Usman a little bit. I like Usman.
Yeah, they went really back and forth.
There was some stuff
the
backstage with them, too. Backstage, it was some shit. Where Usman was just kind of just talking smack to him, like, because they were behind stage before they had to walk out for that press thing, you know, for the upcoming fights. And, Usman was just talking shit to him, like, "Hey, man, you're a Twitter tough guy," basically some stuff like that. And, you know, "You're a big Twitter talker, and this, you know, I'm right here, I'm right next to you. We live 20 miles away. We could set, you know, you got an issue." And the other guy's, he's like, "Yeah, I know, you pretend like you don't hear me." The guy's like right next to him. It was fucking good. I like that. I like that guy getting some shit, because I'm not a big,
He didn't say anything back?
Nah, he wasn't saying nothing. That's why when they went on the thing, he was like, "Yo, you're talking now, you weren't talking backstage."
Oh,
you know?
I remember that guy. Yeah. That guy was from,
Usman. He was back in the day, he was with one of the Black Zillions.
Yeah.
He was on that show.
Nigeria. Yeah, he's
Nigeria.
Nigeria.
Yeah, I remember that. He goes, "Hey, you weren't talking that shit before."
Right.
Yeah, and he wasn't. He wasn't, you know.
And also another fight, Cowboy, who just is still
going. Yeah, Cowboy, yeah.
Leon Edwards. That's UFC Fight Night, Saturday, June the 23rd, from Singapore.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that, like, shocked my delivery on
well,
that.
Well, it's their first time in Singapore.
I know, but the way I said it, like my fucking aunt, Singapore. Oh, delightful shopping.
And Cowboy's got the most wins in the UFC, right?
But this will be the most wins if he wins.
This will?
Yeah.
Well, really? Oh, okay. Wow, yeah. Man. Guy's busy.
Well, who's ahead of him?
Let's see. I think it's George.
He beat him in the second. I'm still stunned that I thought it was the fourth round. Are you 100% sure?
Yeah, I am. I am on that one. Yeah.
What happened in the second round? I can't believe I'm not remembering.
Right. Towards the end of the first round, Cody hurt TJ. TJ got up, kind of went for a leg. The round ended. Came out in the second round, landed a head kick, and then he finished him. But yeah, it was the second round. But
I just didn't remember it right.
It's all right.
Fuck. I'm still happy to see Cody get the rematch.
Well, listen, we didn't read this before, but Connor, Dana said he talked to Connor. Did you read this?
Yes.
No, you didn't.
I did read it before. Yeah.
To answer,
wait a second. Read it out loud.
Oh, motherfucker! I'm like, oh my god, I'm shocked.
No.
Really quick, Connor and I talked. You want to read this?
Sure. I was gonna say to answer Chuck's question. It's Bisping, GSP, and Donald Cerrone have 20 wins each. So if Cowboy wins, he'd jump ahead of Bisping and GSP.
Oh, okay.
Hey, yeah. Go ahead. Somebody, you read that because my voice is going to make people.
What did you want me to read? Let me say.
When Dana said he talked to Connor.
Well, they talked through text at first.
Well, they talked through text, but I want to read that because I read the last line. I'm not happy about it.
Oh. Dana had this to say about Connor. He said, Connor and I talked through text yesterday. This was on Friday, I think, too. So things kind of changed. But Dana said, Connor and I talked through text yesterday. Obviously the worst conversation we've ever had, but we talked yesterday before he turned himself in. It's not that I don't think he understood what happened. It's just that he justified it. It was justified to him. I'm sorry about Michael Chiesa. I'm sorry about Rose and whoever else, but this had to be done. They feel like these guys attacked his friend and this needs to be done.
What needs to be done? That you're throwing shit through a fucking bus windows with people that have nothing to do with anything?
Yeah.
What needs to be done, if you want to take care of business, how about you say, hey, man, you could lock me in a cage with that guy that disrespected my friend so I could fuck him up. No, you're not doing that because you don't want your fucking arm broken. Don't act like a badass, dude. Don't do it. I don't know what you're doing. I don't want to accuse the guy of doing maybe drugs or whatever it is. Maybe it's just not right in his head. But for him to try to justify that, what had to be done? That you had to confront Khabib? Then confront him.
You knew what hotel he was at.
You act like a damn hooligan, and you're not acting like that's not a tough guy. That's a fucking punk. That's like something, like what I mean. If I was like a 16-year-old, and like back in the day before you're fully mature, and you're like, oh man, let's get our guys, let's go rode right over to his house on our bikes because that's what kids do. I mean, you act like a fucking punk. You just had a child, you know what I mean? And all these people that look, all these people like, oh yeah, that's so gangster. He got all his friends and they jumped on him. No, dude. What's really gangster is getting in there and say, you know what? Let's get this done. Let's get this done where I can fight this. They want to make the fight happen. Why wouldn't you want to be locked in a fucking cage with this guy? Or else, hey man, I can understand you don't want to do that. You want to you want some blood. You want to get this back. He didn't approach Autumn in the cage. Okay. I think Khabib says it the best. Get in touch with him. You want to be a hard ass. The word will get out if you guys met somewhere. But he's not doing that. He's not. Because you know why? He's not. This acts like this. Oh, man, he must be crazy. He's putting this thing through a bus window. That's not crazy.
No. Meeting Khabib, temper tantrum.
Hey, get in touch with Khabib and meet him somewhere behind closed doors. That's fucking crazy. And that's not Conor McGregor.
Yeah, and like you say, you know that a fight would be broken up immediately if Khabib had gotten off that bus. And he also knows Khabib is fighting the next night. He can't get off the bus and fucking fight in a parking deck.
Right.
Punk, I heard he was trying to when they were stopping him. So, but again, yeah, it was a stupid move on McGregor. It was a bad decision, bad career move.
Dumb move.
And man. I know Jason Ellis. I like Jason Ellis. Yeah. I've been on his show before. I've seen him. He posted something on Instagram of a picture of Khabib on the bus saying something like, oh, he said he tried to get off the bus and he didn't. Hey, first of all, dude, he's not a fucking immature asshole. What do you want him to be like? Get me off. I swear I'll kill him. The guy's a confident professional. Right now, officially best fighter on the planet. In his weight class. Now, he's not a wannabe. You understand? This is the Jason Ellis.
Yeah.
Hey, don't be making like this guy should be fucking beating his chest, trying to get out, trying to push guys out of the way. What the fuck for? Conor acting like a fucking asshole?
He wants to fight.
He's going
to
be fighting. When he got off the bus, he's like, I don't understand. You're breaking windows. Why are you attacking a bus? You want to meet me? Tell me, we'll meet me. So, I thought, you know, for Jason Ellis to put that out there, like, oh, Conor's not trying to get out there. Dude, Jason, I love you, but you're fucking wrong right there, dude. You know?
Right.
Maybe one too many tough man contests with Jason. You know what I mean?
Well, and could you imagine, too? I mean, you talked about it before, Conor throws the dolly through the thing. What if that hits Rose? That fight's off. And then what if Khabib does get off the bus? That fight's going to be off, too. The entire event would be over.
He's not an amateur. Right. You know what I'm saying? If he ran into him anywhere and approached him, Khabib is, what do you think? Khabib's afraid to fight him? Like, is Jason's point? Because he's like, oh, God, because I read that thing again. I don't know if you can find it, but the Jason Ellis's thing on Instagram. Get that thing for me.
Yeah, I'll get it.
Because it's okay, you know. I'm not trying to start some feud. I like Jason. But what's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. Don't try to make Khabib sound like a punk because he's not getting off. He's like, oh, well, you know, Khabib said he tried to get off the bus. This doesn't look like he's trying to get off the bus. I don't want to misquote him, so I want to make sure I
was he trying to be funny, though? Was he just joking?
No. Maybe he was. Maybe I might be off.
He might have just
been fucking nuts like everybody else.
Around.
He might be. So let's read that.
I love
sure.
a good joke.
Yeah, you ever fucking, what are you, a comedian?
All right. You make me laugh. You amuse me. What am I? A clown?
That's right. That's a good movie. Ain't that a great movie?
Awesome.
Goodfellas.
It's on Netflix now. I just went through that casino again. You watch it for a half hour, then you leave, go do what you got to do. You come back the next day, it's in the same spot.
Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci's great. You know? I can't believe that Andrew Dice Clay was originally slated for
My Cousin Vinny. Yeah.
That could have been his movie.
When you look at Marissa Tomei, it makes sense, too.
It does make sense.
But that's well, right who when was Dice going to do?
He was going to play Pesci's role.
He was going to be the judge. He was going to be the judge.
That was originally the movie, though. And they fucked Andrew out of his... They owed him for three pictures. He did Ford Fairlane. And then all that stuff came down, so they just paid him off for the final two. My Cousin Vinny the Third.
I thought he was set for... are you sure you got that right? I thought he was set for Herman Monster's role. No, he wasn't going to be the judge?
No.
Okay.
Two Utes.
I got that wrong.
Utes.
Yo, detective producer, what's going on?
I'm trying to find it. It doesn't seem like it's on his Instagram. Let me see. Hold on.
All I know is this.
It's on his Instagram. I got it. Because I don't have Twitter, so it's on his Instagram.
All right.
It's already late.
Yeah.
Why would I stop bringing this Jason Ellis shit up now?
You mentioned it.
Why? Because I got my head's all over the place, Jimmy. Okay. Thank goodness I got some Camorras in today, Jimmy. Thank goodness.
Yes, you know what I mean? Al almost got a Camorra last year. He was trying for it. He was going for
it. Where is this guy's? Only because I don't want to get it wrong. Look, there's a picture of Khabib on the bus. Look at him.
It's a shot, I guess, from Embedded or whatever of Khabib and one of his teammates circled, and it says, "Another way to look at it, your boy gets concerned by your arch rival, so you fly your guys over to confront the man, and he hides from the confrontation, then tells another story to the media. He doesn't look like he's trying to get out of the bus to fight him at all, but I did hear him say otherwise. Stupid ass Connor for what he did, but also I smell bullshit from Khabib. It's drama, and one day these guys are going to fight, and I love it. Thank you, UFC. This shit is amazing."
I don't think Khabib is giving any bullshit. He had a fight the next night. He's the fucking main event.
Yeah,
he's cutting weight too. That's the other thing that people are forgetting. Khabib's not in. You know,
some guys like getting. He's boo, Jason Ellis. Wrong. Wrong on this one. You know what I mean?
Connor was being a dick because he was doing it in a parking deck, and you know it's going to get broken up. Is Khabib supposed to get his fucking hand broken or his crazy.
It shows, because some people put themselves in that situation. What if I was on that bus? What? It's like, that's what they probably say. So Jason Ellis is putting himself in Khabib's shoes. So maybe a guy who's not as confident as Khabib would be like, oh, that guy wants to fight me. Oh, let me out. No. Dude, Khabib, I guarantee this guy's heart rate did not go up at all with all this shit going on. I know this might affect different people. People attacking the bus and this and that. Did Khabib look shook at all? When you seen, they interviewed him on Embedded right afterwards. He's about business. Oh, man, he's throwing punches in the air. He's just walking. I don't know why he's attacking a bus. This is not a show. Yeah. This dude been wrestling bad since he's 9, man. Hey, this guy is not afraid of, this is junior high fucking antics.
And Connor has $100 million in the bank. Khabib doesn't. So he can't just go out and fucking and do something stupid and lose the main event.
Connor
had $100 million in the bank.
Yeah, he might lose some, yeah.
You think Jason Ellis called that right, Chuck? I'm not trying to get you involved in this.
No, not at all.
I mean, do you think, is he spilling bullshit from Khabib?
Like he says, I don't know who came up with that game plan, but Connor had, how long is it from Ireland to here? How many hours?
6 to 7 hours, baby.
6, 7, 8 hours. He had 8 hours to think about what he was going to do. And if that game plan was to come and attack Khabib, that was retarded.
And
like I said, if he came to the UFC and at the night of the fight, he would have been a hero. Everybody would have welcomed him. Everybody loves the guy.
A good stare
down.
But
because of it, and of course, at the end, then you go in the ring or you go in the octagon and you confront the guy. And maybe some words will be, maybe he'll, punch here and there, but that's the right thing to do.
Sure.
If somebody wrongs you and you're an active fighter the way these guys are, and they're trying to set up this fight, and you got a chance to be like, all right, man, now this now I get to do this guy some bodily harm in a legal way. You get to work this guy over. You know what I mean? I mean, what else do you want to do besides bite him? I mean, you could fucking fight this guy.
Yeah.
You could fight him. You could put him to sleep in front of the world. Unless you don't think you can. And then you know what you do? Get a bunch of guys, you do a scene like he did the other night. That's the last I'm saying about it. And Jason Ellis is wrong with that shit, by the way.
Absolutely.
You're wrong.
Like I said, he's lucky he didn't get get other charges, you know, terrorism or even the least, a hate crime. Because that was, like I said, coming from another country, coming to the United States with a band of guys to cause havoc. And he did that.
Well, boo on him, and he's going to be paying some people out. Yeah. Hey, Chuck, anything you want to promote, my man?
No, I'm just doing my thing, man. We're going to Miami a couple of weeks to do the Paper Empire. And then in June, we're doing Mod Haven with Robert Davi. And I have like six other movies coming out this summer.
And I know you watch all the fights. And after some of these next big cards coming up, if you're not too busy with all these movies, we like when you come in for the recaps and stuff. Could you hang out with us again?
Absolutely. Chuck? I love coming here and talking with you guys.
Awesome, man. I was going to do a movie minute. We'll save that because we don't got an extra
time. I got to come train with you.
We'll do it next time.
I got to come out and train with you while I'm
still
here.
Anytime, man. We'll work. I will not be camorring you. You will be camorring me.
No.
This ain't a line in the sand. We're friends. I want to show you the proper technique of how to take shoulders off. Jimmy, you too.
Thank you.
Oh, what a good time. And people, just so you stay tuned, just so I make sure they tune in next time, I'm going to keep them in suspense for that movie minute. But I'll tell them the movie.
What?
Ready Player One.
Oh.
Hey, Jimmy, did I like it? Did I dislike it? I'm not going to say any. I loved it. I'm going to say, no.
Thursday,
I'm going to keep you in suspense.
For Thursday.
Okay, Jimmy. What do you want to promote, Jimmy?
I'm going to be in the Poconos this Saturday night, I think. Or no, next Saturday, week from Saturday. I'm doing a gig at the Mount Airy Lodge, I think. So come see me. Could I possibly be less energy,
Jimmy,
promoting my own dumb
Jimmy,
band?
I know we're getting out of here now. One time me and my wife, though, we went to those Poconos. Like, you ever go to those love haven things with your girlfriend or your wife?
No, I don't have those loving relationships. No.
But I did once. And we went to this place up in the Poconos, I believe it was. And it's really kind of sick because everybody's there, you know, is there just Chuck, I know you're old school. You might not want to listen to this, but everybody's over there just to fuck, you know? So then when you go to there and everything's all inclusive, so you're all going like you go into the room. If I had like a blue light or something, what is it? A blue light?
Black light.
When you walk in, it's like a two level thing. And there's a jacuzzi, there's a heart shaped thing. There's the bed that's shaped like a fucking heart. And then we got there when they were just cleaning the place. I'm like, you know, people just come here to fuck. And it's just, and then when you go to eat, and like everybody's in this like big like room, and I'm like, everybody, I'm looking around, I'm like, this is so nasty. Everybody's here. I don't know.
Did you sit in the jacuzzi? It looked like egg drop soup.
All right, everybody.
Absolutely.
Another fun show of UFC Unfiltered.
Be back in a couple of days. Thanks, Chuck. It's always great having you.
Oh, guys, thank you for having me.
Thank you, Chuck Zito. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Ciao.